It all started when a phalanx of bulldozers crested a hill, carving a brown dirt road through green prairie grass, wide enough for 6 pickup trucks to park side by side. Hundreds of Native and non-Native activists who were peacefully gathered for a ceremony across the highway began to run towards the bulldozers to stop them. They were blocked by several men and a woman working for a private security firm, hired by Dakota Access, the company building a pipeline that, when finished, will transport 450,000 barrels of crude oil from Bakken Shale across Native American treaty lands every day to pipelines in Indiana. The security team had dogs, big dogs, including a black German Shepherd and a gray Mastiff.
Dog got loose off of his grip, and it attacked the horses first. You know, the dog would get kicked back, and he'd still run and attack the horses.
The crowd stood its ground, and eventually the security guards and the dogs got back into their trucks and left. Press reports state that 4 guards and 2 dogs were injured. The activists considered the confrontation a victory, which shut down the day's construction of the 1,168-mile pipeline that threatens the water supply of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, as well as ancient sacred sites and burial grounds.
Forever desecrating, and what we know is that there are actual burial sites that they found out there, and it's most likely a rickerel, the bones of my ancestors. There was arrowheads just laying turned up. All kinds of stuff was laying out there, just turned up when the bulldozers came.
The sites make up one of the most significant archaeological finds in the state.
In this case, we have 2 stone rings and 3 half rings, what we call arcs or crescent moons. It's really actually the handle of the dipper, where the Natchez or the straight lance people stand to fast.
One site was used for prayer and is linked to water.
There's a spring right down the hill here. And how it's tied to this site is through the people that brought their spirituality to these areas and made pledges.
It angers me, it breaks my heart, and it's my ancestors that are out there now disturbed, and their spirits now disturbed, and some things started happening last night that we can't explain. And that's what happens when you disturb ancient burial sites. And so today, what we're doing is we're mobilizing a ceremony, a spirit march. And we're going with our medicines, and we're going to march from the middle barricade where the original protectors were when we first stopped the road being built. We're going to march from there to the site that was disturbed, not directly up to the sacred site. Our spiritual advisors have asked us not to go right out to where the site is, but to where it started being disturbed, to where the fence is down. We're going to go there, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask for healing for our ancestors that were disturbed. And we want to show why we're here, and that we were provoked by Dakota Access, not the other way around.
I mean, they're clearly trying to initiate violence by both the way they viciously attacked people yesterday with dogs, and then by trying to destroy these sacred sites. It's similar to things that the U.S. has condemned in the past when the Khmer Rouge or when ISIS has destroyed the sacred sites of Palmyra.
Ellison says the private security firm, meaning the people with the dogs, has replaced law enforcement as a quasi-legal tactic to disrupt the protests.
We've seen it since Katrina, where in any kind of a major situation, private security forces, usually ex-combat vets, are brought in, and they seem to operate as though they are beyond and above the law. So what we have is a very, very dangerous situation that the company is trying to initiate by using people of whatever training or qualifications they have, but trying to act as law enforcement officers when they're not. And really what they are is they're just corporate thugs.
Where arrests need to be made, made. Those arrests need to be done fully compliant with international human rights law. They need to be done without undue force or violence against water protectors. And then the conditions under which people are held or processed need to be in line with international standards. We've seen footage, I think a lot of people have seen footage, of the use of chemical irritants against protectors and people who are in the water. We've also seen the use of militarized style weapons and equipment. And this is, you know, an incredibly remote place, and you have SWAT teams with semi-automatic weapons and, you know, military-style Humvees on a two-lane road. But it is a sort of stark reminder of what, you know, many people who are seeking to exercise their right to peaceful assembly are looking at, which is a heavily militarized police force. Those are the concerns we still have, to remind the government that it's not only their obligation to not violate the right to protest, but in fact it's their obligation to ensure that the right to protest can happen and facilitate that right.
540 clergy come around the sacred fire, and there's 8 or 9 denominational leaders, and they all had a section of the Doctrine of Discovery that they read, and then they read their tradition's repudiation of it and why it was important and prophetic to repudiate that. And then they asked the Native American elders there would like to burn it, and they said yes. And so they took some coals from the sacred fire, and they burned the papers in front of everyone, and a great shout was let out, and people clapping and cheering, and then we sang the typical song, Amen, you know, Amen, Amen. So everybody was singing that as the Doctrine of Discovery was burned.
What struck me as being a white person in America who has grown up a part of the majority, I'm a white male in America, mm-hmm. There's maybe been one or two times in my life that I can remember where I have felt what could be described as suspicion, you know, being an outsider, and it's uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and it was uncomfortable when I experienced it. And I came away thinking about that on my drive, long drive back, what it would be like to have that be my experience every day of my life.
One of the things that made the biggest impact for me to want to get involved was seeing the maps of where the pipeline had been planned to go and how it was rerouted to not be upstream from white communities and instead to be upstream from Native American communities. And I think that just speaks mountains to how Native Americans have been treated since white people arrived here. And in this day and age, we know enough and we know better than to treat people that way, and so I think it's important that the white communities in this country finally take a stand to support the Native Americans in the fights that they are taking to protect their land and their water. So I want to be on their side.